All right, joining us now from the Golf Channel Academy up in Rochester, teacher extraordinaire. I'm going to go with teacher extraordinaire. Brian Jacobs, welcome into the golf shop.
Hey, good morning, Mike and Allison. How are you today?
We're well. We're well. Are you okay being teacher extraordinaire, or did I oversell it?
We'll see. I'd like to think that way.
Time will tell. You did promise to be fascinating, so let's make sure we set the bar high. Well,
yes, sir.
Yeah, Brian. One of the reasons that I called you is that I saw your segment on the Golf Channel about this sort of 10-minute routine that you were saying that if an average golfer could devote 10 minutes to practicing the game every day, not going out there and grinding and getting sore for 2 hours and beating balls, but 10 minutes, you know, and you're up in a cold climate there in Rochester, so winter training is important as well. Is it possible for you to take us through your 10-minute training routine on the radio?
Sure, absolutely. We prescribe, we'll say is the word, for our players that are maybe out of town, traveling. You can do this in a hotel room. You can do it in an indoor center like we have. But it all evolves around block practicing. And you would work on not only your golf swing, but also your fitness level as well. So a couple days a week, you would be doing full swing types of activities, like working on your plane, working on position, transition, posture, and then other days you would be working on putting, you would be working on your short game, and you don't need to hit balls to practice. I learned this a long time ago, being involved with Hank Haney. We did a lot of mirror work with our students, and they were highly successful, you know, when they went out to play, because they knew positions, and they were able to think through things. They knew their ball flights, so we could change things pretty rapidly that way.
Now, so this isn't like 8-minute abs, which I tried to do in 6 because I'm an overachiever. This is not the same activity every day. This is a devotion to your golf game every day, and you can do so with just a little bit of time.
Correct. Like you might have a critical error of a cup left wrist and a club takeaway to the inside. So what we would do is set a plan for you to set the end of your takeaway with the club head a little bit outside your hands and maybe your hand a little flatter, a little more bowed. And you would work on that and work on that and work on that. And then we'd add on to that. Then we'd set the club at the top. Typically, if someone takes the club back a little bit too inside, they'll also get a little more upright at the top of their swing and cup even more. So we can flatten the club at the top. And so you'll have to be with an instructor at the very beginning of it. They lay out a plan. I shoot a lot of video tips for the people that I work with so that they can just look at the video and reconnect in again to that routine. And the people are very religious about it, let's say, and they come back in a good place, you know, in the springtime.
Yeah, I was curious about the mirror work because, I think some people might get out and try to get in front of the mirror at home or in the hallway where they've got a long full-length mirror they use to get dressed and, you know, who knows? Some people are like reflection averse and some people are vampires and don't even show up in mirrors. So I was curious, you know, you really need to start this with somebody who's going to put you on the path to a proper, I mean, because you could, somebody who doesn't know what they're doing looks in a mirror and it makes no sense at all, which is sort of one of the questions I have about people self-taping themselves and doing the, you know, all of the wearables and things like that. I mean, is it possible for somebody who's an average golfer or even a not very good golfer to actually get worse by trying to fix themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the danger of the internet. And I will be honest with you, it's taken me a while to kind of jump into the global, you know, videotaping and using YouTube, because I don't want to lead people down the wrong way. So the tips have to be, you know, very general. And the first question I'll ask someone when they're watching a tape or when they've taped themselves, like, what exactly are you looking for? And they'll have the pat answers. You know, I'm looking for this. I'm looking for this. But how do you change it if you can't feel it? So we do a lot of kinesthetic learning. So I move people quite a bit. And that's how you lay the foundation for their 10-minute routine. So there has to be some professional eye that teaches, you know, or some type of plan that teaches these people how to get things in the right positions and then how to move the golf club properly, or otherwise they're just reinforcing what they already do improperly. And we can't really get better if we do flavor of the week. One day someone will come in, and my dad's a perfect example. I mean, he's a you know, was a good player, and then he kind of lost his way a little bit, and you know, he tries the flavor of the day. Well, this works today, and it may not work tomorrow. And so we want to develop a great foundation. We want people to understand that their critical errors are always going to be their critical errors. If you come with a slice, you're always going to gravitate towards a slice, but we need to be able to reverse that process, have them understand the positions in their 10-minute routine on how to change it, and then their ball flight will change, and they'll have better results.
Well, I imagine in addition to sort of the professional advice you have to give, you must be, as a golf instructor, part psychiatrist too. Especially the first time someone sees their reflection or videotape, and you're like, well, what are you looking at? Well, I just look fat, and I can't get past that. How do you get people past the self-loathing of seeing themselves? They've played golf all these years, and they thought their swing looked a certain way, or even that they look a certain way, and now you have to help them break through that.
Well, it's interesting. A number of years ago, I had a high-level player that played actually at Rutgers University, and she used to think all the time, what does my swing look like? What does it look like? And I purposely wouldn't have her on video because it was functional, you know, and it was pretty to me. And it was unique to her, and she was a great player. So we want to also allow people to have their own personal view of their swing and be comfortable with that. Just like body image or anything else, we have to be comfortable with where we're at. And if we want to make changes, I tell people that it's different at the very beginning. It's different leading towards better. We hardly ever say the word better right away. Well, this is better. Well, this is better. This is different. It's going to feel different. It's going to move different, but you're going to have a better result at the end of it.
Hi, we're talking to Brian Jacobs from the Golf Channel Academy up in Rochester. And I'm curious, when you're saying this, it sounds like you're a swing your swing kind of guy. And is that, how do you deal with someone who's a natural athlete? And they maybe have a quirky swing, but they're, you know, you have certain people come out and they're not athletic, but they can still become good golfers. And certain people are great athletes. How do you deal with that disparity?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I learned a long, long time ago that there isn't one way. There's way. There's certain components of the golf swing that you have to have. And if you watch tour players or if you watch high level players, they all do one thing really well. They get to impact well. And people get very focused on post-impact. It doesn't matter if the ball is gone. It doesn't matter if you throw the club or if you get steep with it. You know, what matters is two angles to me are the end of the takeaway and impact. In general, if we can get the club to move a certain way, we can get to great impact. If we are a little bit quirky with that, we might have to make little adjustments. But it's okay. It's okay. I've had lots of players that are non-classic swingers that are great players. They have great short games. They're great thinkers on the golf course. So they have an advantage where maybe someone who's super mechanically sound only thinks about mechanics, and they're handicapped because they can't play golf. They can't think their way around the golf course. So everybody comes in with a unique kind of thumbprint, and we work with them with where they're at. Some people, you know, will come to me and say, are you you going to change anything? And I'll say, no, but we change everything. Other people, we kind of leave them alone and work more on their mental game and more on their short game and have them achieve that way.
Brian, I want to know, what are some of the short game drills that you give to golfers? Because I feel like the biggest hurdle with amateur golfers is putting and chipping and really getting comfortable with feel when they're not able to play every day.
Right. Well, we do. I'm very fortunate. Number one, I have an indoor teaching center, but with the people that can't come to the teaching center, we might throw half dollar, quarter and dimes on the floor. And we might set up a metronome at their house on a linoleum floor or on a laminate floor. So it's super fast, and just set up a 4-4 timing on the metronome and have them just work on their tempo. Tempo's huge with people. We have people, I talk to people and I say a lot of times, you know, that your swing doesn't really change. Your putting stroke doesn't change much day to day. What changes is your brain and your tempo. So we want to ingrain a great tempo with them. With the short game, we typically will work on setup, and then also whether we're using the dig of the club versus the bounce of the club, and how we rotate our body. A long, long, long time ago, people used to get taught with their short game in particular pitches with a lot of wrist hinge from anywhere near the green, 30 yards away from the green, and we've gone to more of a rotational model with people where they're rotating their chest more and the club is staying in position, and we just change the shaft angle, either droop down a little bit more or more vertical. So we can work on that and have them hit, almost golf balls inside the house so they're not smashing real golf balls into the wall. So there's a lot of things we can do. We can help them work on their path. I work with a training aid company for putting eyeline golf where lots of tour players use their mirrors. So we do mirror work on the floor, shoulder mirrors, putting rails. So we have a number of training aids that we can use with people too as they practice.
All right, again, we're talking to Brian Jacobs from the Golf Channel Academy up in Rochester. And I'm curious, when you're starting to break down the time, and again, up there, you definitely need to be talking about your playing months, your outdoor playing months. But how much of your time in an ideal world would you spend on the golf course with a student dealing with course management and managing their game?
95%.
If you could, right?
I can. My model typically with my hour coaching, all my series are performance series, so they're all long term. They're all 3, 6, and 12 months. So I don't do the one hitter lessons. We do a course assessment. So all my assessments are on the golf course, because if people can't play golf, they're not going to take lessons. They're not going to come in for coaching. So what I do is do the majority of my work on the course. And then at that point, we talk a lot about their mental game. I can take somebody out on the golf course, a novice, a relative beginner, put them at 50 yards. And, we play a little game called go back or walk back, which is they start at 50 yards. And if they can make the par score for that hole, we move them back to 100, then 200. And I can get them back to the regular forward tees within maybe five holes. Just having them think differently about shots and have them, it's not mechanical, it's more of their thinking and developing their confidence level and management.
Wow. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us today. Stay warm, stay inside, and enjoy the off season.
Thanks. Thanks so much. I appreciate the opportunity to be on.
All right. Take care now.
Thanks, Allison.